Hello, everyone. I'm sorry I'm a couple minutes late. I had some problems getting connected this morning, and then we had to fix my hair because it was flying all over the place. I was today's fresh hair wash day. So if you are familiar with short bleached hair, that when you freshly wash it, it's like the hair does better when it's dirty. So today I just made sure that I was conditioning, doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm just like, oh, it's just going to be one of those days. All right. So let me pull my notes up for everything that we're doing today. And so we can get started. Let me put my glasses back on because I can't read jack shit without my glasses. What we're going to do today is worksheet time. So what I would like everybody to do is you will be coming up to, let's see, the worksheet is on page 29 and 31 of your basics book, or basics 2.0 book, Busting Your Hunger Obstacles. And so I want to just talk about obstacles today. We're going to go through the worksheet a little bit. I will take some questions today, which will be amazing. I think this one is a really important thing because one of the things that we have to do is we have to get super aware of our obstacles. We have to, and not only just get aware of them, we have to like get good at anticipating when they're going to happen, what we are going to do, and how we're going to talk to ourselves when they come up. So that's kind of the purpose of today. The purpose of doing worksheets like this is when we talk about doing thought work and what does that mean? I think a lot of times you guys think that that means that it's going to be hard, it's going to be long and arduous, and all this other kind of stuff. Thought work really is super simple. Thought work is where you are going to pay attention to the things you think, and you are going to pay attention to the things that happen in your life, and you're going to sit back, and you're basically going to question and say, do I want that? And if I don't, what do I need to do to change it? Do I need to change a thought? Do I need to question a thought? Do I need to get curious why I even think certain things? Sometimes it's just stuff we were told as kids and we're like in our 50s, still believing it, never thinking that, oh, maybe that's not true. Sometimes we just need to get really good at noticing patterns. A lot of times thought work is about being super observant of your patterns and stuff. So when we do busting your hunger obstacles, really examining the things that get in your way is a key piece of thought work. It's one of the most important things we do in thought work. It's like, I'm all about us changing how we think, but very often, if you just know your common patterns, habits, triggers, cues, and that kind of stuff, you don't really have to believe a whole honking bunch of new stuff in order to say, like, I just don't want that for me anymore. Like, to be able to just casually say that. I think too often we just feel like we have to like dive deep and unearth the skeletons and, you know, it's just going to be so much hard work. All we really got to do is get so good at noticing stuff that we offer ourselves another choice. That's it. It's that boring and that simple. So I want you guys to, if you have your worksheet, this is great. If not, you can follow along. I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to go through the worksheet and talk about a few things and like how I would answer some of this stuff. And I encourage you to use this time together when you're listening to this, whether you're listening live or you're listening on replay. I would encourage you to do this work along with me. Take some notes and answer this stuff. Very often you guys are listening to a lot of lessons, but you're not doing the work while you do it. I will just give you a pro tip. When you are, my text message went off. I just want to make sure it's my team not telling me like you don't have sound. One of the things is when you listen to me live, if I throw out a journaling prompt, I would write it down and I would seriously, if you're already in the middle of listening to something, pause the video and just answer it right then. Don't think I'll get to that later. I'll do that later. I'll do that some other time. Odds are you won't. You are already in the middle of the learning. You might as well do the learning then. Let's say you're driving down the road. A lot of you listen to me when you're walking, when you're driving down the road or doing something.
if I throw out questions or I throw out journal prompts and stuff, pause. Even if you can't write something down, you can always sit there and allow yourself to think it through. Anytime that you can apply immediately, just running through some of the questions and running through some of it, of what you're learning in that moment, takes you a step closer to ahas, change in perspectives. It lays some groundwork for some new thinking. It does all of the things. So let's get started on the worksheet. Go ahead and tag your accountability group, tag friends, tag people that you know are in the membership that maybe you haven't seen in a couple of weeks or so, that you're like, they're usually posting. I wonder if they're laying low. Tag them. Doesn't mean they have to come live, but it does prompt them that the next time they come into Facebook, they'll check their notifications. They'll see their little face tagged in one of these videos. And then as I am talking through the video, I encourage you to either put in some of your answers for the worksheet or an aha. All right. So let's look at the first question. List two common situations where you end up not waiting until hungry or not stopping it satisfied. So why would I ask you this question? It is so that the more often that you are like, all right, let me list these. Let me get my brain geared towards spotlighting the times when I'm not waiting until I'm hungry or not stopping it satisfied. What happens is when you start identifying those over and over again through your discovery worksheets or wherever, here's what your brain does. It will start paying more attention to those times. It will start highlighting those for you. You'll have a different experience the next time. Or maybe, you know, if you do it, if you write about this in your planner for a few days, then when you run up on that meal, what's happening is you are alerting your reticular activation system. So let me tell you what that is one more time. I've told y'all this a lot of times, but we've got new people in the house. It does not hurt to hear about the reticular activation system over and over again. The way your brain works is that whatever it thinks it needs to find, it prioritizes finding that all the time. So let's say that you tell yourself, I'm not good at waiting for hunger. Since this is hunger week, let's pretend that you're like, I really stink at waiting for hunger. I'm no good at waiting for hunger. Waiting for hunger is hard for me. Here's what your brain does. You will be going along, and then every time you have a hunger signal, rather than thinking, oh good, I caught a hunger signal, you'll think, oh God, I'm getting hungry. Or you will start eating, won't have checked in, and you will say, see, I suck at waiting for hunger. I'm never going to get this. Rather than, well, let's see, I started eating. Do I remember anything? Because you are either the kind of person who sucks at waiting for hunger, or you're the kind of person who's learning how to activate, how to find all the hunger. So whatever you tell yourself casually, in passing to your accountability groups, what you just allow yourself to believe about yourself without ever challenging that there's another way to look at it, all of those things you guys tell me, and I like try to get you to think of it differently. You're like, yeah, but Corinne, let me tell you about the last 3 months. Before we change how I think, can I just prove to you exactly why I should keep my shitty ass definitions of myself? This is what you guys do. That's your reticular activation system. Its job is to go out and interpret things and sort through the world to prove whatever you keep allowing yourself to think and believe true. That's it. And it would rather do that than believe something new. So your job is to make sure you're very careful about those things. So when you do work like this and you think of two common situations where I end up not waiting until hunger or not eating it satisfied, what this does is it now tells your reticular activation system, we really want to pay attention to these two types of times. Because a lot of you, what you're experiencing is you're not waiting for hunger. Like you just start eating and it's like, I forgot to ask. or when you're eating, it's like, I forgot to stop. Your reticular activation system, if it believes you're an overeater, if it believes waiting for hunger or stopping enough is hard, if you believe you're not good at it, then your reticular activation system is not wired to pay attention. It's wired to make sure that you eat on habit, because it needs to, it's like, but we're supposed to filter out what's not needed. We're not looking to be good at this. We're looking to be bad at it. The thing about your reticular activation system is it don't give a fuck about your emotions, your dreams, your hopes, your goals. It has one job. Filter out the noise of the world. Like, let's say that you're phone timer goes off and it says, stop eating. Your reticular activation system's job is to say, like, that's not important. That's not important. We have a hard time stopping at enough. That's not important. Snooze. I just need to eat for 5 more minutes. That's how that works. Now, if you went into this saying, all right, here are the times where I'm not waiting and here are the times where I'm not stopping. And you start your week with, you know what I'm going to do this week? I'm going to see how many times I can actually catch myself. My goal this week is just see how often I can do it. Your reticular activation system is now given new set of instructions. Now it's trying to rack it up. Now it's trying to figure this out. And so it's more likely to, like, you might eat just past enough. It might say, like, oh, whoa, 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 we were supposed to stop. And you're like, oh, yeah, let me stop 2 bites short rather than just cleaning the plate now. That's its whole job. It's supposed to get rid of anything that you haven't placed importance on, and it's supposed to filter out everything that you've placed importance on. And if you make being a failure important by only allowing yourselves to think about things in ways that you fail, then it spotlights every mistake. It will tell you every success you have is not good enough. That one doesn't count. You just got lucky on that one. So you have to be very mindful. All right. So 2 common situations. Number 2, list 2 frequent thoughts that you feel keep you from waiting until you're hungry or stopping at satisfied. So the first thing that we did was we looked at situations. So for me, a situation, like 2 of my, like, I'm pretty good about waiting for hunger, but I, like, know that my work is on stopping at enough. Like, for me, that's where I know I can gain the most traction. Like, that's the place that I'm just like, if I was going to put all my energy and focus on one thing, knowing that if I solve this one thing, it would make everything else easier, I would pick enough. And that's always a good question for you guys. Like, when you're trying to think about, like when you look at a lot of you who are on, let me just talk to the girls on the stalls and plateaus real quick. When you're on a stall or plateau, very often, and a really good coaching call for this one is caller number 2 of the Queen's Cup call from May, I'll tell you the date, May the 11th. So if you're watching this on replay in a few months from now, May 11th of 2021, there was a Queen's Club call. It'll be in your Private Mirror podcast and in the video replays over on nobswomen.com. The second caller has lost around 60 pounds, but she's been kind of fucking around with 5 pounds now for a few months. And we were coaching, and she listed 3 things. She's got her water on lock. She has got her sleep on lock. She's making plans. So she's got those 3 things on lock. But she also had 3 things that were not on lock. And it was waiting for hunger, stopping at satisfied or stopping at enough, and actually following the plan consistently. Now, listen to me when I say this. For all of you who are sitting around, not doing things, wondering, still on the fence of wondering if this is going to work, she's lost 60 fucking pounds. Not waiting until she's hungry. She literally said last night, you know, I lost 60 pounds. I don't think I ever really waited for hunger. I'm just now finding out that at 60 pounds in, it's probably time to start doing that one. So all of you, please remember, you don't have to be doing this shit perfectly. But sitting around waiting for enlightenment, it's not the fast track to your weight loss. So one of the things that we dialed in yesterday is I told her she got to pick one thing. So when you're looking at your basics and stuff, since we're doing basics 2.0, I want you to think about this. If there was only one thing that I could focus on for the next 30 days, and I did that one with all my energy and effort and improved it, it would make other things either easier or I wouldn't even have to worry about learning. Like, I wouldn't even have to do those things. So last night we picked waiting for hunger. It's like she's making plans, but she's eating things when she's not hungry. So if she literally just got to where it's like, all right, for the next 30 days, I'm going to really double down on making sure that I'm waiting for hunger, she probably will pretty much solve following her plan. Because a lot of her not following the plan was because she was adding things when she wasn't hungry. She fixes that. Following the plan becomes exponentially better. And then this is the thing. You guys always want to work on so much at one time. When she solves that, she not only helps one of the others, but when she moves on to like dialing in enough even more, she's already got the skill of doing like listening, paying attention, being patient, trying something to see if it's going to be as bad as she thinks it might be. All of those things, she's worked through it. So when she applies all of those things, those skills that she learned from conquering waiting for hunger, it will make stopping at enough a lot easier. She'll already know how to find her excuses. She'll already know how to wait a little bit and let an urge die down. She'll already know how to do all of those things. It's just applying it in a different situation. So that's always important. So we always have situations. For her, it was morning snacking. She had identified, I'm eating in the mornings because I'm bored. I don't have enough work to do first thing in the morning. And I don't like sitting there. So for her, a trigger, a situation that leads to her eating before she's hungry is not having enough to do at work. Now, number two, when we list frequent thoughts that keep us from waiting for hunger, you want to listen to what you tell yourself. For her, it is when she's sitting there, she's kind of hard on herself when she doesn't have anything to do. Rather than just sitting there and thinking like, I got my shit done. I'm just going to wait for them to give me something to do. She sits there and worries about not having anything to do, what it might mean about her, what other people might be thinking about her and stuff. Those thoughts need to get worked through, because if she's going to continue to have this situation arise and keep her old thinking, food will continue to be a solution. Who would want to just sit around with idleness? Like, if you're going to have idle time, you need to make sure the brain environment is fertile. Hers is not fertile. Hers is a beat down. And it's not even a hardcore one. It's just a little self-loathing. It's worrying what other people think. That part, you have to get the awareness around. So knowing that a thought of like, I'm bored, I need to pass the time. Let me grab a snack while I've got some time. Those are thoughts you want to be very aware of, so that when those situations come up, you hear the thinking, because it's your job to get good at understanding your thoughts and then deciding, and I need to also add this on to the end. So that when I think, you know, it's time to procrastinate snack, it's time to eat because I don't have anything to do, we have to tell ourselves, I'm waiting on some work and that's okay. It's very different. It doesn't have that anxiety or boredom. All of those are feelings. So we want to really watch our thoughts And listen, I will tell you, for a lot of you, when it comes to hunger, it's going to be, I just want it. That's okay. You do, like, I promise all of you, if you want to ask yourself, okay, in some cases, in those moments, you know, why do I want it? I don't think it's all that useful. I don't think you guys need to dig around underneath and figure it out. I think in the moment when you think about, I just want it, I would just say, of course I do. Because today, I think my day was like this. And if I'm thinking that my day was hard or stressful, I never get a break, blah, 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 it would make sense that I would just want to eat. Like, even having that conversation right there, I want you to all think about it. One, it allows you to see and take responsibility for how you're summarizing your days. A lot of us fall into nighttime eating of, I just want it, because when we think about, well, why would I want food at the end of the day other than it tastes good? Because ain't none of y'all picking a head of broccoli. I mean, come on. If you were all picking a head of broccoli, we wouldn't be sitting around solving this problem. We're picking ice cream and we're picking cheese and crackers and wine and ding-dongs and cookies and chips and nuts. And we're just sitting around eating, right? So I just want it. Of course I do. Of course I would want to sit around and eat at night. Because I've thought all day long, these things about my kids, these things about myself, these things about the people around me, these things about my life, of course I would just want it if I'm tired and blah, 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 blah. Without even saying anything else, just acknowledging that I just want it is normal and natural already provides relief in the moment. It already gets your brain unfocused on the food and looking inward and compassionately at yourself. And so for a lot of you, it's just a simple, of course I want it. Of course I just want to eat something. I'm tired. Tonight, I'm going to really try to go 20, 30 minutes without it and reevaluate, because I am tired. I do deserve a break. And I'm going to take a break this way to see what it's like. Now, for a lot of you, this is what will happen. When you take out, when you're no longer eating emotionally, like this is all before you're hungry. When you take away that food, I do want you to have that calm conversation with yourself. But when the food's not there, here's what's likely to happen. If you tend to be someone who's hard on themselves, if you tend to be someone who judges themselves, you tend to be someone who thinks that they should be doing things, that they never get enough done, that there's like work left undone, that somehow you're failing in life, you're not good enough, or if you're just an A-type personality who the list will never be done, when the food is not there, I just want you to listen to what your brain says. None of it is true. That's all I want you to tell yourself. All of it feels true. I could make an argument for all of it, but it still is just thoughts. No matter how married I am to them, no matter how much I feel them, they are still just thoughts. It would be so good for you guys to practice more of just listening to that inner chatter and what goes on and not try to change it, but get really good at understanding, these are the things that I think, it's no wonder I want to eat. So if I really want to stop eating and I want to enjoy my life, maybe it's time for me to just start paying attention to all this narrative and say, what else could be true? If you're not ready to even believe something new about some of that stuff, just letting yourself be with it and just say, I have compassion for myself. This is some stuff. This is, you know, this is what drives my feelings. And over time, I bet I can believe new things. Not today, but today I just want to see them. I don't want to eat over them. I don't want to judge myself for them. And I don't want to run from them anymore. Judging yourself from them, eating over them, and running from them. When you guys tell me thought work is tiring, that's the version you're doing. You're lumping thought work into, I hear my thoughts and I judge myself. I hear my thoughts and I've got to get away from them. Like, I need a new thought. I just got to feel better. Most of the time, you don't need to feel better. You just don't need to feel as bad as you're feeling because you're believing all of it. When we come into the moment where we can question it, then we automatically get relief. All right. Next, list two long-standing habits that you feel make it hard to wait until hungry or satisfied. So for some of the, like I would say for me personally, my longest standing habit for making it hard to wait until hungry is, and I swear to God, I still do this. When I am making my lunch or my dinner, especially if I am hungry, I am like looking around to just grab something off of stuff. Like I might, like if I dish out my salad and I'm like, say I'm heating up some, like a lot of times I like to have salad and toast. While the toast is heating, out of the salad bowl, I'll eat with a fork as if those don't count. Or if we keep cheese in the fridge, I might grab a piece of cheese to eat while my meal's heating up. Like I still do stuff like that. So it's like, what are the habits that are making it hard to wait until hunger or stop it satisfied? One of the habits I have for stopping it enough, I'm going to tell you, is I tend to still eat watching TV more times than not. And I will probably, like, I will tell you, I don't know, I couldn't put a number to it, but I clean my plate more often when I'm eating and watching television. Now, if I'm eating and just listening to music and just eating, I don't, because I start losing interest in my food faster because I'm starting to want to do something else. And that's a good thing. A lot of us think like, oh, I don't want to do that because then I don't get to finish my food. I've changed my thought on that. Rather than feeling like I don't get to finish my food, thinking this is unfair or I don't want to leave food behind, I've decided to start thinking, I would rather know what my body has enough than to hang on to my story that it's unfair. I don't even talk about why it is fair. None of that stuff. I'm just like, I just don't want to hang on to that story. I know it doesn't help me. So like I have to do things different. I have to think things different. All right. What patterns do you notice about the obstacles that you've listed above? Are they connected to core belief about yourself and abilities? Are they tied to certain feelings like stress, anxiety, or excitement? Or are they connected to people and places? So all you're going to do now is you're just going to look at your situations, your thoughts, and your habits. And you're going to ask yourself, like, do I have these because at the base, do I believe losing weight is going to be hard for me? At the end of the day, what are my core beliefs about me? That would be a really good thing to answer. So you're going to keep going through your worksheet. All right. One of the things that we have on here that I think is probably the like most important exercises on this sheet is the chart where it says, when I will. This is a great obstacle or obstacle buster. What it does is it tees up your reticular activation system to say, when I think this, when I catch myself doing this, when I am going to be in this situation, whatever you've identified is like the most frequent things that are happening. And that's what I like to start with. I always like to start with my repeat offenders. Whatever I notice I'm writing about all the time, whatever I notice that I'm catching myself doing most often. So like if I was going to spend the next 30 days, for me, it would be, so when I eat while watching TV, I will mute the television. Could at least start with muting it. I don't have to turn it off. I don't have to do any of that stuff. But I could at least mute the television. When I'm preparing my lunch and dinner, I will walk out of the kitchen while the microwave is heating up my food. When I'm making a salad, I'll ask Logan to come into the room and talk to me. Because if I'm talking to Logan, I'm not going to be sitting there and shoveling food in my face. That's just how I am. Doesn't mean you will be the same. So coming up with a when I will for your repeat offenders is super helpful. Again, it turns on your reticular activation system. When you've wrote it out, it gets your brain teed up to spot those situations. Now go back to earlier when we did Basics 2.0 last week, when I talked about changes, the phases of change. When you do a when I will, when you identify your most common obstacles and stuff, I really want you guys to think about picking one per week and really just work on that one. Don't sit there and try to work on all the others. Pick like the one time a day that you're like, if I'm going to end up overeating or I'm going to end up eating before I'm hungry, this is when it is most often. Only work on that for a week. Turn your brain on. And then remember, in the phases of change, for a few days, it may only be 20% of the time you're catching it, 80% of the time you're not. You don't beat yourself up for that. Remember, 20% of the time means, see, my brain is lighting up. See, my brain is getting ready to do the work. And then you'll start seeing it shift to 40, 60. And then you're like, see, my brain is turning on more and more and more. It's really starting to catch some momentum. Then it's going to go to 60% of the time working, 40% of the time not working. And we don't beat ourselves up. That's the critical stage. Stage three, phase three, is when most of you are going to want to beat yourself up. Like, no, now the tide is turning. Now my brain is putting it into habit formation. It's like, ladies, line up, get in formation. That's what 60-40 means. It means your brain is now trying to do it more often than not. It's called a good thing. It's not called failure. Then it turns into 80-20. That's phase four. 80-20 is where it's into a habit situation. And then 20% of the time, we don't follow our habit because shit hits the fan. Something happens to where we have to consciously do the habit. It's not just going to be automatic. So 80% of the time it's automatic. 20% of the time it's not working is when we want to autocorrect as fast as possible and learn from those times so that we get it more and more and more consistent to where shit can hit the fan and my habits take over rather than my old habits pop back up like whack-a-mole. Okay, if anybody has questions, let's do questions. I want to take a look at my notes and see if there's anything else that I needed to cover today. But if you guys have questions, if you'll use hashtag ask, my team will give them to me. And if somebody will tell me where you're going to put the questions, that'd be awesome. Y'all put it in the monthly course channel. That would be awesome. Let's see. All right. So once you notice the patterns, there are many doable action that you can do. So I think I covered everything I wanted to. Let me just say this. I just continue to want to tell you guys that do this work. Do not shy from it. No matter where you're at in Basics 2.0, it's never too late to do one of the classes. They don't just build on each other. You could literally listen to any of them at any time. So for all of you who want, if you want to complete your I will, let's see, what was it? When I will, it would be amazing for some of you guys to share those in the Facebook group. So if you will share what you came up with, I think that will be awesome. All right. What did you say about it's not fair? I just told myself I don't want to hang on to that story. First of all, who the fuck said life was going to be fair anyway? Like, that's what I always tell myself. Like, can you imagine if your kids came up and said, well, it's not fair that you get to do this and I don't. You'd just be like, and? Like, none of us, like, when we think it's not fair, none of us are going to ourselves and going, and? You know what's really not fair? Sitting around trying to lose weight all your life. That's not fair either. But for some reason, you think that not eating the last three bites of this meal is a big fucking deal. It's not, Missy. Like, I just tell myself that all the time. Like, when I have a random thought, like, it's not fair. Guys, I call that bullshit unimportant. Just because my brain thinks it doesn't mean I need to make it important. That's what you guys do. Your brain offers up some old shitty, and you're just like, oh my God, what do? I'm having this thought, Corinne. I even believe it. I think my mother taught it to me. This is a horrible thing, blah. I'm like, it's called a sentence. You're a grown-ass woman. Do you really want to sit around and think because you don't get to finish your food, because you are trying to lose weight and have a better life, that it's not fair? Like, sometimes we just have to, like, literally, like, take a breath and go, like, self, what are you even thinking? Seriously. I just feel like it's totally fair. I've had enough. So don't make your thoughts such a big fucking deal. Now, I can see them, Mary Jo. This is where I told her to put them. This is good. I try to avoid hunger because hunger in my world means low blood sugar. And my mind goes into panic mode and I end up overeating. This is because I'm a diabetic. What do I do in my case? Well, number one, hunger doesn't mean low blood sugar. Like, that still is a thought. I'm sure you can give me 1,000 different things. But if that sentence causes panic, that's how we know it's not a helpful sentence. You could say, I'm diabetic and I'm going to work around eating at times to keep my blood sugar high and I can lose weight. That's also very true about your diabetes. It's also very true about hunger. But the way you're thinking about it is like, in the past, I've like gotten hungry, my blood sugar said blah, 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 blah. I don't give a fuck about your past, neither should you. You know what we need to do? Plan from who we want to be. You probably want to be someone that can eat in a way that helps you normalize your blood sugar and lose weight at the same time. Put your brain to work on that. That might mean that for you, you're hungry. Like, this is the thing. When we're going to wait for physical signs of hunger, one of your physical, like if you track your blood sugar, that's a physical sign. We don't wait until we're passing out dizzy. We wait until our numbers hit a certain level. A lot of you, like for if you're diabetic, you're going to, like, the way that you wait for hunger is like, you know how your body operates. If you know your body needs to eat in certain intervals to stabilize your blood sugar, guess what? You don't necessarily do wait for a physical hunger system like stomach growling. You wait for a blood sugar pattern. Which means, like, if it's every 3 hours for you, then you eat every 3 hours. Because right now what you're doing is jacking up your blood sugar by overeating to shy away from it. There's nothing that diabetes loves more than some extra insulin pulsing through them veins. So we have to think about it like that. You're still paying attention to your body. You're just paying attention to your body in a different way than people who don't have diabetes. That's it. And when you think about it that way, guess what? We don't have panic ensue. We're like, oh, so I'm still listening to my body. I'm just listening to it in a way that works for me. Because at the end of the day, that's all I want any of you doing. Listening to your body in a way that works for you so that you can feel the way you want to feel, weigh what you want to weigh, eat what you want to eat, and all the things. And really understand what eating what you want to eat is important too. So for a lot of you, y'all get muddy on this one. For some of you that have health issues, you'll say, but I really want to be able to eat, like, let's say cake. But when you eat cake, you have headaches, diarrhea, blood sugar spirals, tons of health issues. You've got to figure out, like, do I really want it? Or is that something I keep telling myself? Maybe the truth is I like cake, but not at my own personal expense, health-wise, which might be a thought that you want to start practicing. Because some of us put so much importance on some food and we forget the other things in life that we want. It's like, what if we started focusing, rather than just focusing on what foods we want, we start focusing more of our energy and time into thinking, like, even just giving yourself half as much time as we think about the foods that we want, if we started equally giving as much time to the life we want. Here are the things I want out of my life. Most of us spend so much time thinking about what we want for dinner, what we want after dinner, what we want to eat on vacation, what we want to eat with our friends, what we want to eat this weekend, what we wish we could eat. We're spending so much time and energy just focused on food that we forget there's a whole life to think about. Sometimes we just need to turn down thinking about that stuff as much. Like if you turn the volume down, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to sit around and obsess about food. And when I catch myself obsessing about food, I'm going to be like, all right, if I have time to think about food, I also have time to think about some of the things that I want out of my life. Like, I want to be able to play with my kids without running out of breath. I want to be able to outrun my kids. I want to be a role model for my kids when it comes to waking up with energy, going to bed like tired at night because I lived my best life, not because I wore myself out with my thinking all day long. Like thinking about that kind of stuff more often and turning the volume up over there lessens all of this drama we have around like, oh my God, they told me I couldn't have cake. The end of the world has happened. The only time cake being taken away feels like the end of the world is when you've made your world revolve around it. All your happiness, your comfort, your joy, your only time where you relax, if it's around food and you come up on a health condition that says it's the food or your life, which one do you want? The only people that this becomes scary of letting go of are the people who are not doing the thought work around figuring out how to think more about the life they want. They're just sitting around thinking about the band-aids they've created for themselves and putting so much importance on them. Sometimes the best thing you can do is turn the volume down on some of that bullshit thinking, like it's unfair, I should get to, I just want it. Just been like, you know, I'm just turning the volume down on that stuff. Even if I don't believe it's true, I know intellectually it's not. What is true? What else is true in life? I'm turning the volume up over there for a while. I'm just going to make myself think about stuff like that for a while and just see what happens. The worst that happens is you amplify thinking you want and you turn down thinking you don't. You're more than likely to just feel better no matter what. Would a monk meal help to see those longstanding habits or thoughts that make it hard to stop at satisfied? Oh yeah. So a monk meal is where you eat in quiet, like absolute quiet. There's no distractions. You're going to sit at the table. You're just going to eat with your food. What happens is you'll hear everything you think about. Like you can sit there and try to think about the food, but you'll hear your common objections and your bullshit justifications and all your self-talk. It'll just turn the volume up because there's nothing to drown it out. So it will help. So one of the things that a lot of people do when we had an in-person event in January of 2020 where I had a six-day event. Can you imagine people in the room with me for 6 days? They did a monk meal and we had them take a piece of paper in with them. And then as they ate, they just wrote about what they thought. And that's a really good way to get a lot of that. I've been here a year. I still have a hard time hearing my thoughts. I really want to work through this process, but I've identified this issue. I'm not sure where to start. Start exactly where I just told you. If you have a hard time hearing your thoughts, turn down your distractions. Sit with a piece of paper for 15 minutes while you eat and just write. Take a bite, write about what you're thinking about. And guys, this is the thing. When you do this work, like when you are going to sit there and write, Like literally write everything. You might write change cat box. It may turn into a to-do list at first. That's actually good information to know. Because for some of you, the reason why you overeat and want to eat distracted is because you do sit in idle time and only think about the things you have to do. A to-do list is not a waste of time. It alerts you to your brain. It's like, oh, so when I can think about anything, I'm thinking about things I have to do, things I should be doing, things I need to do. Do you know what didn't happen when I was eating? Gratitude. Sitting around thinking about what's good about me. That's why we do this. Where it's good. All information is good information. And so like at first, just listening to what you do think about. Guys, your brain has 60,000 thoughts a day. Don't sit there and act like you can't hear it. You will hear it if you are sitting around with nothing else to do but have a pen, a piece of paper, and some idle time. Nobody's brain is just going, burr. You're in a coma if that's happening. Somebody said it's hard to really listen to yourself. It's not like that's a thought. Let me tell you why. When you think it's hard to listen to yourself, that means you're going to be hard on yourself about what you hear. That's what that sentence means. So it's not hard to listen to yourself. Listening to yourself literally means, let me hear the words. What are the words? Let me note the words. It's only hard if you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I think those things. Oh my God, it's no wonder I never lose weight. Oh my God. Like if everything is an oh my God and what comes after it, that's what makes it hard. So those thoughts are the ones that we got to work on first. We have to work on this idea that actually listening to myself is a really good beneficial thing because it's going to highlight stuff that's been tripping me up. I would much rather it be highlighted so I can figure out how to work around it than to just keep tripping over it over and over and over again and living a life of frustration. Just have to tell the truth about it. Please give me more when I will examples. Guys, you're going to do that in the Facebook group. Y'all do that in the Facebook group. Look for the post. Somebody put some in the thing. Like when I think it's, what did we say? When I think it's hard to hear my thoughts, I will remind myself. Highlighting my thoughts is actually a good thing. It's just real simple. There's no right or wrong on this either, guys. Just come up with some. If you're confused, if you're wondering if it's good enough, here's what I would do. I'd make a list of five, just five. I would post them in the Facebook group and say, hey, here's my five. When I will. What do you guys think? Is there any you would change? Is there any that you love? Is there any that you would add to? Discuss these things with your accountability groups. Discuss these things in the Facebook group. Guys, if you're not in Facebook, then take it to Ask Coaches. Come to them with some. Let them give you some examples. And then go through the Ask Coaches. See if anybody else has done this work. And write down what they've got. This is how we crowdsource a lot of this information. Okay, guys, that's it for today. Let me remind you. So I will be back tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. This will be the final Basics 2.0 for a couple of days that's live. So let me tell you how it's going to work just so no one's confused. This is camp weekend. By the way, if you're not signed up, guess what? It's not too late. I think the final box is... Whether you sign up last minute or not, we will send you a box. You just may not get it in time for camp. But if you sign up today, boxes should arrive on Friday. We do a 2-day. So it's never too late to get signed up to join us. Tomorrow morning, I will be live from the hotel. Friday and Monday, the Basics 2.0 video will be a pre-record. I've already recorded it for you guys. We're going to load one up on Friday morning and we're going to load one up on Monday morning. I have camp all weekend, so that's exactly where my attention and focus is. And then Monday, I have a full day of, since my team's here, I'm having a full day meeting on that day. And because I have to travel back and forth to the hotel, we're going to do pre-records. So the next time you catch me live is either at camp tomorrow or the following Tuesday. All right. Y'all keep working away on your Basics 2.0. And I will see all of my campers soon. For those of you coming in person, I'll see you Thursday night. I'll be at the hotel Thursday night, so I'll probably see you in the hallways. And then everybody else, I'll see you virtually this weekend. And y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.